Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of the Ace of Spada podcast, hosted by your boy right here, Anthony Spada. And on today's episode, I am joined by one of my good friends and also Tomanek-trained coach, Thomas Monk. Tom is a teacher, and that's what we get into. We discuss kind of how he got into teaching. We discuss kind of how he translates teaching into coaching and how he uses that experience to help others make difference in their fitness goals. So you're going to want to hear this one. It's just a really dope episode. You get to learn a little bit about the personality behind Tom. So check it out. And if you like it, share it with a friend. Subscribe to the podcast. Before we get to it, as you guys know, the Ace of Spada podcast is teamed up with Morphogen Nutrition to offer you guys the best supplements in the industry. You can use code SPADA at checkout to save you a little bit of money. And also, as you guys know, I do have my own online coaching business. So if you guys are interested in really make a change and becoming an ace in the deck of cards known as life, then go sign up. The coaching application is in the show notes. It takes about 10 minutes to fill out, so if you have that time, definitely go fill it out, and I'll be in contact with you within the next 24 hours. So, guys, let's get to the episode. If you do enjoy it, subscribe to the podcast, share it with a friend, you know, get it out there. That's how this podcast becomes known. So, let's get to the episode. Let's welcome on Thomas Monk.
Dude, remember we were talking about Vans? I think our first one was Vans and
Vans and Converse.
Was it Vans? It was Vans and Converse. It was
Vans and Converse, because I had just bought.
I think it was like you bought like three pairs
high
tops.
Low top? No, I bought low top.
Oh yeah, you bought the low tops.
Low top black ones, and you had messaged me, and then we started talking about Vans, and then we started talking about Converse and like squatting, and then like one thing led to another. We just started talking like every other day.
Oh, dude, yeah. It's like there's certain people on this team that I talk to like every single day. Yeah. Like every single day. I'm like, it's kind of crazy how just conversations just spark up out of nowhere off shoes.
I'm like, well, that's the thing, dude. It's like, it's so easy to generate a conversation through a story, because I find people will post on their story what they're actually like into, like the music they like to listen to, like the shoes, the clothing, the hats, stuff like that. Whereas I don't want to say they don't want to waste a post, but like if your page, like for example, like my page, it's all about coaching, like motivation, like educating, stuff like that. Like I don't want to put up a post about shoes and potentially like push people away, because then they're gonna be like, okay, well, why is he posting about shoes when he could be posting about something else? Whereas I would rather put it on my story and then have that one-to-one interaction like you and I had, because I feel like it means more. Whereas if I'm gonna post something on my actual page, I want it to have like more validation and more merit behind it, so you can learn from it, versus being like, hey, I think these shoes are cool. You know what I mean?
I've switched my content to everything. Everything's honestly just about, I just spam a bunch of people with my podcast on my stories. To truly be honest, they're probably all sick of it. They're like, every single Thursday, it's like eight posts. It's like eight different things on like my podcast to listen. I just like try to spam people as much as possible, so they'll like actually click on the link in my bio. I'm like, you're going to do it. I was like, if I keep nagging you, you're going to do it.
But I mean, that's the thing though, is in this day and age, though, how many podcasts are there? You know, how many coaches?
I remember talking with Chase Tuning, and he said there was like 800,000 or something.
That's what I mean. So it's like I feel like you have to get yourself out there in one way or another. But then once they listen, once they gravitate towards the content that you're putting out or the guests that you're having, and they build that connection, you don't have to keep spamming them, because you're going to have subscribers. You're going to have views. Like, didn't you just hit 8,000 views the other day, or 8,000 listens?
I'm already at like 8,200 now.
That's what I mean, is like, without you doing that, without you putting yourself out there,
it would be zero. It would be like
zero.
I mean, it would be horrible. And,
like, think about it, dude. Like, us jumping on here right now, like, there's a chance nobody could listen to this episode. Huh, but the fact that we've built a following, we've built a support system, people resonate with what you post, people resonate with what I post. Like, when they see people collabing like this, you're going to just draw more people in to your things, to my things, to anything that we do together in the future. And like, that's how this community just continues to build. Like, think about like the Tominac trained group chat. Like, dude, that's exploded. Like, I missed my phone notifications the other day for like
you probably have like 200 messages in that thing.
Dude, I had no power. I came back, there were like 50 messages from people all over the United States.
Exactly.
In different countries. Like, that doesn't happen without social media. That doesn't happen without taking that risk and, like, as you called it, like, spamming people. Like, sometimes you just need to take the damn risk.
Yeah. I think you just have to, you know, I always, it's really funny because a lot of people actually commend me for always reaching out to wild people to get on the show. And in all reality, it's really uncomfortable to do that for me.
Oh, 100%.
Because we were touching on something before and we won't go into detail what it was, but like, I am sometimes afraid of what people are going to say. And then actually after doing it for like a month, I was like, what's the worst thing that someone's going to say? They're like, oh, I don't have time right now. Yeah. It's like, that's what they actually say. And it's like, I'm cool with that. It's like, at least you, I bring this up a lot, but I'm like, at least you responded. Like, it's better than someone. The worst part about Instagram is that you can have that nice little scene
on the red,
The nice little scene on the bottom of your message. So if someone reads it and they like don't respond, it's like, oh, it's like, thanks for ignoring me. But well, like people acknowledge. Like, I remember asking Fuad on the podcast. I was head high. You know, I got like all these guests coming on, and I was like, you know what, I'll just take the chance. And you know, he actually sent me like a good message. Like, he wanted like the link to my show and everything and like all that. Like, he did, but he didn't have time to come on because his stuff is also very much exploding at this point.
Yeah.
So I was like, at least he's going to like check out the show. Like, that's pretty cool to like get acknowledgement from the person.
That's the biggest thing is like you said, okay, the biggest possible thing is rejection. Okay. So if that's the worst thing in the world, you're getting rejected on a phone. They're like, nope, I don't want to talk to you. Like, there's a huge difference if you were going up to these people like face to face and being like, hey, can you come on this show? And then being like, nah, get away from me.
Well, I think the cool part about social media is that you can, if you also ask them to come on the show, they can easily look up that show real quick on their phone instead of a face to face conversation where you can't even look up anything about it. Like, right in front of the person, because you have to physically do that in front of the person. Who wants to do that?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to do that if someone had, like honestly, I say yes to every person that asked me to come on the show just because I like to do my own show. So I'm like, I don't mind coming as a guest on another person's show.
You allowing more people to come on the show, like I was saying before, you could have someone on the show from, let's say, Colorado, right? You may have zero fan base in Colorado right now, but that's after funny. That person from Colorado comes on, dude, you're gonna have, like, let's say you get a what, minimum 50 people, that's an extra 50 views. So then you have those 50 people tell their friends, okay, now you're looking at 100, and then they do the same thing, now you're looking at 150, 200. That's how this grows.
Yeah,
you know, and you're doing it organically because you're allowing everyone to come on, and there's always some type of underlining takeaway or meaning behind every episode. So whether I resonate with this episode or not, I know, okay, maybe I'll listen to this one instead, or maybe I'll listen to that one instead. And like, that's all you need, dude, is you just need one connection and then people are going to keep coming back.
And we were talking about the stories too, because this is really interesting with the stories. You know, it's pretty cool because people will actually go and then they'll tag me that they listened to an episode, like all the way back. Like, they go, like, some of, I think my, two of my biggest episodes, I'll go out and say it, are the one with Justin Mahaley and Mark.
Yeah.
Those are my, I looked back today and I'm like, oh shit. I was like, those are two of my biggest episodes. But the amount of people that have come from me and on their stories, they tag me or like they message me saying they listened to the episode. You know what it does? It sparks. I always have a list of like my personal favorites that I ever recorded. If people are listening that were previously guests, everybody's episode is awesome. I want to preface that first, but I do have a set favorite where there's been like a bunch of stuff that come out in those episodes.
Yeah,
they're awesome. So I'm always willing if someone tags me in their story or something, I say thank you, and then I like ask them if they want a list of other episodes that I recommend, like my personal favorites.
Yeah,
because they're more inclined to listen to those.
Oh, 100%. Like I know I hadn't listened to that episode you did with Keely yet, and then you and I were talking, and you said, I forget what we were talking about, but you had mentioned like, oh, Keely and I touch upon this in our episode. So like I went back, I listened to the episode because I missed it. But then it just allowed me to like then bring up a talking point with Keely and then bring up another talking point with you. And because of that, like you and I have furthered our friendship, her and I have furthered our friendship. So it's like, again, dude, just like little things.
Exactly. Yeah, it has a greater impact that I'm even aware of. I think that's the cool part is like you don't really understand like a podcast, like things may hit home with people and they might be afraid to message you.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I always say this, I'm like, I'm honestly a free book and you know it. A bunch of people on the team who I message daily, they know it. Like yeah. I literally talk about anything on Instagram DMs. Me and Thomas have talked about a bunch of stuff, literally just like from meals to working out to to sneakers to different machines we're using. We've
pretty much run the gauntlet.
By the way, hit 205 for 16 reps on my Smith machine row today, and I was like, "This is okay." I was like, "I'm good with this." I was like, "That row, that Smith machine row, hits different." Dude,
I told you it hits different.
Yeah, no, I've been using it for like since I've been in the gym, and I'm like, this is awesome. Yeah. I was like, it's so much better than a barbell row because it keeps the bar path like exactly where I need it. I mean, mine doesn't extend far enough. I'll have to show you on video one time, but like it doesn't extend just stay it needs to go just a bit. It's just I am. That's the thing. I am. I just can't get in a good position for it.
Yeah, send me a video of it because I know there's certain machines because I'm vertically challenged, as I like to say. So
no,
bro, I'm 5'8". Like I'm
shut
not
up, bro. I'm 5'6".
You're 22 years old. I'm 31. You still got time to grow.
That's why I'm gonna take HGH. I'll preface this. I'm not actually gonna do this, but I'm gonna take HGH and I need to grow this way. Yeah. I don't need to grow these. I need to grow this way.
Yeah, let me know how that works. And if it works, I'll grow my hair back. But
I'm hoping it's
going to happen for either of us.
Maybe Mark will help me like stretch out and I'll grow an extra inch. You know, that would help.
Yeah.
Because it gives me an extra weight to get on my body. No, dude, I had you on because I think it's pretty cool. You know, this isn't your first rodeo with the podcast.
No, it's not. I've been on a few.
Dude, that's pretty. So what's your experience like being on? I want to ask, what's your experience like being on other people's podcasts?
So I was on Austin Paulson's podcast. I was on the Excellence Cartel. And then my friend Austin here in Connecticut had myself and another coach on. And we did kind of like a roundtable Q&A that we were doing weekly up until COVID hit. And then the three of us have just gotten so busy doing our own things that like we literally haven't had time to like sit down and do it. And then obviously having the opportunity to come on your podcast, I think it's good. I think when I was on the Excellence Cartel, I don't want to say, I kind of restrained myself a little bit because I'm on with like Jeff Black, Jeffrey Sue, Jason Theobald, like three guys that I look up to. I read their posts daily. So like, I won't lie. I'll sit here and say I was intimidated because I almost felt like I was questioning my own abilities because I was on the show with these three individuals. And at the end, I started to get more comfortable and I was like, okay, like I do have confidence in my abilities. Like they wouldn't have had me on the show or like my posts and things like that. Like I've talked to all of them one-on-one before, Like, I've met Jason in person, and like him and I have had discussions at the Physique Summit, and like that motivated me a ton because they're in a position that I would love to be at one day, where like I can coach full time, I can have the ability to like really change people's lives, like not on just a physical level or like a surface level, but also mentally, and like help continue further confidence and education in all of my clients.
Yeah, no, I get that same feeling on my own podcast. Whenever I have guests like that, like I had Jason Theobald on the show, I got really, like some guests I get really nervous with.
Yeah.
Like the other day I was recording with Jordan Shallow.
Yep.
That one was, I will say this straight up, when I have guests like that big, I get very intimidated. I want to make sure the episode is perfect, which kind of screws up the episode a little bit, but I'm always like in that, but then I always find like that flow. And then once you find the flow,
well, that's what I think is the biggest thing is in like, I know I did this when I was on the Excellence Cartel. And if I could do that episode over again, I would honestly, like I would go into it with a different mindset. It was because like you see these individuals like on Instagram, like, you know, they're well-renowned, you know, like how much knowledge they have. But at the end of the day, they're just regular guys with an extraordinary passion for what they're doing. And yep. They've literally gone all in on it. So that's why they're able to just rattle off information like left and right without even thinking about it. Like they can connect the dots before I'm even done like telling them what's going on with me or a client is like describing their symptoms. Like they can put the pieces of the puzzle together before it's even there. So I think knowing that, it obviously like it gives you a little bit of intimidation, but then at the same time you have to take a step back and remember like, okay, they're coming on my show for a reason. Like I've done things to quote unquote like earn their respect, or they're having on their show because I've done things to put myself in a position there. So yeah, you'll probably seem rattled at first, but then like I even tell new clients like this when it's like if they feel like it's information overload when we're talking, like just take a step back, catch your breath, and then realize you're here for a reason, and then express everything you have to say and just do it with the utmost confidence.
Yeah. And you don't just educate online. I think this is the coolest part over why I want to have you on, is because this man is not only an educator of people. I would say most of your clients like 20, 24 to like 40, somewhere around there.
I have a couple 50, and then I've had a few in their 60s. Yeah.
Okay. But most of your clients are 25 to 40, right?
Yeah.
Then he also teaches the puberty people, high schoolers, which I kind of want to dig into. What is it like? What is it like to actually be a teacher? For a lot of people that don't know, you can go into kind of your backstory real quick over what you do. But
I'm a full-time phys ed and school health teacher here in the state of Connecticut. So I work with grades 9 through 12. I went to Southern Connecticut State University. I originally wanted to do exercise science. I wanted to become a personal trainer. But when you get into the program, they make you do field hours in every portion of the exercise science department. So one of the sections was teaching. I did student teaching for 2 weeks at the secondary level, so grades 9 through 12, and then I did 2 weeks at the elementary school level. And like, I just fell in love with teaching grades 9 through 12. Couldn't stand doing elementary school because it was like every 2 seconds it was like, "Mister, tie my shoe," like kids sneezing on you, like snot all the time. Like, don't get me
wrong.
Especially
with this nowadays. Mm-mm.
Yeah, like I have nephews that age. Like I love them, but I did not want to spend my entire day like tying shoes, like seeing tears. So once I graduated, I got a job right out of school, teaching middle school. And like middle school is that kind of that age where it's like PE class is still cool to do. And then when you get to high school, it's not fun anymore unless you're an athlete. So yeah. I've been doing that for the past 8 years. And during that time, the passion for coaching and bodybuilding like never left. And just like you said, the ability to be able to coach alongside work full time is something that like I absolutely love, because how many people get out of work every day at 2:30 and still have another 8 to 9 hours before they go to bed. So having those 8 hours, I was just like, you know what? Like, I think I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I think, you know what actually spawned this is from, so we actually got to create like during the summer, our internship where I actually created like the podcast and everything, we were able to basically create our own hours.
Yeah.
So I would get out at like 4:30, like every day, which is a great time to get out. It's better than 5. I can tell you that, especially being in DC, getting
all the traffic,
getting on a train was great. Honestly, yeah. There was like no one on there, but once you hit 5, everybody's on there. But that's where this came from, is like, you get that free time and you're like, this is cool. It's like, what do you do? And it's like, it gives you enough time to go to the gym, gives you enough time to like do some extra stuff. You're like, you actually get to chillax. Like, that's like one part I'm not looking forward to in my full-time job. It's like, I'm going to get done work at like 5 and then go to the gym. Next thing I know, I'm going to be in bed. But I kind of want to know what's your biggest takeaway from actually working as a teacher? Because I think this is a really unique opportunity, especially as high schoolers. They're in very different paths in life.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they're trying to find direction in their life. And to all people, if you are in high school, I feel like you don't really find your direction until like after college. So don't worry. It took me until my senior year to figure out what I wanted to do. But kind of go into like that. I'm actually really interested to figure out like what it's like to actually work with high schoolers.
So working with high schoolers, in my standpoint, because I work in, I don't want to say a challenging section of Connecticut, because I've worked all over. But the biggest thing I found is just respect. Like, you need to figure out where the respect line is with your students, and you need to respect them, and they're going to respect you back. I've found through my experiences, individuals who kind of make it a situation where like they're pointing fingers, they're jumping down the kids' throats, they're always screaming at them, not working with them or like leveling the playing field to their advantage, almost making it like a dictatorship in the classroom. Like, it is, but it isn't.
Yeah.
They're the ones that don't further their relationships with the students, because the students I found are going to let you in when they respect you, when they know like, okay, Mr. Monk is going to be there every single day. Like, if he's like, when I'm absent, like I will have students message me being like, are you okay? Like, how come you're not in today? Because it's, I'm a constant in their lives. Like, I'm constantly there. I'm constantly supporting them. I'm constantly trying to figure out what ways can I help them. And a lot of times, and this even comes down to working with clients, it all comes down to differentiation, because no two people are the same. So if I had to say the biggest takeaway from teaching that I've been able to correlate to coaching, is being able to talk to individuals, picking up on their personalities, and then differentiating my coaching styles to fit their needs and not the other way around. Because you need to meet the needs of the client, or you need to meet the needs of the student, in order to have them comprehend whatever it is you're trying to tell them or help them learn, or how you want them to progress.
Yeah. I think that respect line is actually very hard to define when you're doing online coaching. I think this is something for me, I find it might also be based on each coach's personality is different.
Yeah.
So you have to find, this is why not every coach takes client, like every single client, is because they have to make sure their personality is going to match well with what's going to happen. But there is that respect line of, it turns into a dictatorship, and it turns into a actual productive educational opportunity.
Yeah.
For people. Like, that's like the thing I'm working on right now, is like with my different clients, it's, you have to figure that out so quickly. Mm-hmm. with clients. Like
I think one of the best things you can do that I took from teaching is, so when I'm teaching in a classroom, I have classroom rules and expectations.
Yep.
I list them all out. Like, these are my classroom rules. These are my non-negotiables. I'm not going to tolerate these types of things. And then on like the first week of school, and I'm sure you did this, was okay, like, let's make our classroom rules, right? Where like, it's kind of a way to like just pass the time before you start rolling into everything. But then at the same time, I like to do it, and I'll break my class up into like four or five different groups, and I'll just sit back and I'll just observe. I'll listen to the conversations, and you'll be able to tell right away, okay, like, who's the leader in this group? Who's the leader in that group? Who's not going to say anything? And then I have them put all of their classroom rules and expectations up on the board, and like, I'll go through, I'll circle the ones that are all the same, and I'll say, okay, why, like typically the first one is always respect, right? So like, I'll circle respect on all four or five, and then I'll pose a question to the class. Why respect? And I won't say anything until someone speaks up. And it's like that classic, like, oh, I'll stand here all day. Like, you're not wasting my time. Like, you're wasting yours, type of thing. But then kids will speak up, and then it starts a conversation. Or like, I'll pose a question. Okay, well, what about this one? Why was this only on this sheet and not on any other else's, but the entire class agrees with it? Was it because you just didn't think of it, or maybe you didn't put it down because you didn't think anybody else in the class would agree with it? Then the same thing kind of goes with teaching, or I'm sorry, with coaching. Like, these are my expectations of my client. This is your expectations of me. Okay, well, if I'm going to uphold my end of the bargain because you said you want someone who's going to educate you, you want someone who's going to communicate effectively, respond within a given time period, and then also, like, let's say, not share your photos online. If I'm going to do all those four things, you should be able to check in on time, be consistent, give me feedback, and send me photos on the day that you're supposed to send photos. So it's kind of like, you have to do a give and take. If I'm giving you all of this and you're taking it and you're not giving me the information I need back, how can I effectively help you?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there are tons of coaches out there who have literally worked with clients where all they've done is they send their photos and their weight, nothing else. And then they have to pry it out of them. Like, yeah. One of the things that I do, is I'll do a biofeedback scale. So I'll have 8 different biofeedback markers where throughout the week you give me an average. It's 1 through 10, with 1 being poor, 10 being optimal. And then you average them out. Okay, so you had a 10 on stress this week. Anybody that works with me knows I'm going to ask them what the hell happened. Why was your stress a 10? Okay, well, you told me your stress was a 10 because of X, Y, and Z. Well, what did you do to negate your stress? Nothing. Okay. Well, now this is a learning opportunity for me to, okay, what happened? What could we have done differently? What have you done in the past to help you with your stress? Or, okay, I think you should try X, Y, and Z based off of the lifestyle that you told me you live. So like, it just, I kind of look at everything almost as a teaching point where I can then be like, okay, let's try this. Or how could you do this differently? Like, put the ball in their court, like, make them give me an answer, because I know I'm not going to be someone's coach forever, but I want them to take the skills and the tools and any type of tangible that they learned with me, with them forever. So they can then continuously progress. Or if they find themselves in a situation where, oh shit, like, have that oh shit moment and be like, I need to start doing X, Y, and Z. Otherwise, A, B, and C is going to start happening to me again.
I think a lot of people underestimate that biofeedback kind of scale, or they're very scared of it. So I do something very similar. I have biofeedback markers that I always kind of actually track. Usually it's the same basically as everybody else: stress, sleep, digestion. It's in you to teach them how to learn. Especially with digestion, That one's the hardest one, probably.
You go down the rabbit. That's a whole nother podcast in and of itself. That's a rabbit hole.
But I think the coolest part is, though, is people are so nervous in the beginning. This is where you see, this is truly where you get like the transformation, is people are so nervous to actually fill that part out. When you start educating them more on it, they're more likely to fill it out with better consistency, better notes, and it leads to more effective results basically from that. A lot of people are very nervous in that beginning stages to actually even write anything.
The toughest part is coming to face your current reality of, I'm not in a position that I like, or maybe I'm doing something that I've been slacking on, but I don't know how to improve it. So there's always like, remember the kid in class that never raised their hand because they were always too scared? It's the same situation. They don't want to come to me and say, look, like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I don't know how to monitor my digestion. Whereas that question could then stem into like, okay, like, write down how you feel after a meal. Like, are you fatigued? Are you gassy? Are you bloated? Are you like, do you have a ton of energy? Like, how are you feeling 2 hours post your meal? Like, based off of X, Y, and Z food sources, or like the way that we distributed the macros. So like, those are all, again, learning opportunities. But you and I or any other coach out there can't help a client or any individual that comes to us if they're not willing to take a step back and analyze things in their own life. Like, what's the expression? Like, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Like, yeah.
You or I could give someone the best plan in the world, but if they don't execute it, it's literally just words on paper and it's literally just air coming out of our mouths.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, Justin Mahaley actually posted something on his story. It's one of the questions about checking up on clients. You know, it's pretty funny how often sometimes I actually send, you know, I actually sometimes do, I agree with this and I don't agree with this. It depends about how many clients you have that I think affects that answer with it. So I kind of want to get your take on it too. Like, they say we shouldn't check up on clients, but I feel like we should in a way.
So
like that's just my personal opinion, because I think, you know, there's some people that are not confident that if they have, I think maybe from certain biofeedback markers, you probably should check up on them once a week or something like that. Like, send them a message to help them keep going so their biofeedback keeps getting better and better.
So this is, again, like, I'm not going to compare and contrast anything I do to any other coach out there, because obviously, like, people are successful for a reason. Like, they have their own operating systems.
Exactly.
Have allowed them to be successful. And you also have to think, okay, the clientele that I'm getting is going to be completely different from the clientele, we'll say, Mark's getting,
right?
Or that you're getting, or Keely's getting, or anyone who coaches. For me, I can tell you what I do. If I don't hear from a client, like if they miss a check-in, I'll wait a day and then I'll shoot them a message just being like, hey, you missed your check-in. Is everything okay? And typically I'll get, oh my gosh, I've been so stressed. I completely missed it. Can I get you my check-in tomorrow? Or I'll get, hey, completely forgot to send it. Like, I've literally had, like, I have a client who he works nonstop that he'll forget to send me his check-ins. Like, he'll literally have it uploaded on his phone. He just forgets to hit send because his work phone will ring. And then he goes and he does that. And he'll send me a check-in at like 8 o'clock at night and be like, hey, sorry. So like, I know that's common for him.
Yeah.
Whereas let's say I was working with you and you updated me every single Tuesday at 8 a.m. and all of a sudden you didn't, I would probably shoot you a text, be like, hey, bro, is everything all right?
Yeah.
Just because that's, again, like you said before, a lot of it comes down to client load. Like, I have a number of clients right now that I can manage and I can do that, and it's not going to set me back like a few hours. Whereas some coaches who do this full time, say they have in the hundreds or 200s, like that could set them back. But again, yep. it comes down to personal operating systems. And I think for me, taking that like 10, 15 minutes to just check up on somebody, like I do that because I know I would stress about it. And I'd be like, are they okay? Like, that's just the type of person I am. I'll never sit here and say that a coach not doing that is the wrong thing to do. Because again, every clientele is different.
And that's what I was getting at. I was hoping, I didn't want to come across as offensive to anybody. I was just like, I think it compares to how many clients you have and how busy you truly are. I think, but it comes down, I mean, there is a caring factor, but there's also just the way you actually operate your system has a big, big thing with it.
A large part of it is like the coach's expectations of clients and like the rules and regulations they set. I know individuals who have told me that they worked with a coach where if you missed your check-in, you didn't hear from them until next week. So like, that's just how they work. And I mean, no knock on them. Like I don't talk bad about any coach, like, because the last thing you need is to get like a reputation as like, oh, I bash on this coach, I bash on that coach. Like, honestly, like at the end of the day, I'm more focused on myself and my clients to worry about, is this coach responding? Is that coach responding? So that's just me.
Yeah. And I think this leads into what I also want to touch on, which is, you know, you say you have a ton of free time, but I feel like it's not a ton of free time when you truly think about it. Getting off of work at 2:30, there's a lot more behind that than people think, especially, you know, people think you're a PE teacher, but there's a lot more behind PE than a lot of people think too. So kind of go into like more of the time management, stress management of being not only a teacher, but working with however many clients you have, also managing your own life and getting in your own workout and actually improving yourself as well.
So in terms of like numbers, just like I have roughly like 200 students.
Yeah. Right?
So I have 200 students. That means if I give out an assignment, that means I have 200 assignments to grade. Or if I'm giving out, like study guides and things like that, like I then also have to make sure that I'm adhering to a student's 504 plan or their IEP, because every student, like I said before, comes down to differentiation. Like I can't just make 200 copies of something and be like, here,
yeah,
like everyone use this, like, especially because I have such a vast majority of students. I have to have this one set a certain way. I have to have that one set a certain way. Like I have to give this one to this teacher so that teacher can then help him with this alongside of me. So it's like, I have that. And then I also run an after school program where I do a weight training program. So that's 2 to 3 times a week. Then on top of the increase in client loads and then training. So, I mean, I'm very regimented in my schedule. I live and die by my planner. Like if it's not in my planner, then it's probably going to go over my head. Like I'm old school. Like I know a lot of people use their phones and they put their planner in their phone, but I'm the type of person, like I need to write it out.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Nope. Mm-mm. If I put it on my phone, it's getting overlooked.
Yeah. 100%. Like my phone is going off all day as it is. So unless I'm physically setting an alarm and my alarm goes off, then I'll probably forget about it. But if it's in my planner, then I physically see it multiple times a day and I'm more likely to realize the hierarchy of its importance in my planner than on my phone. Like I look at my phone as more like work. Like I know I'm updating all of my clients through my phone. Like I'm on my WhatsApp X amount of hours a day. I'm on Facebook making posts because I know that's like my phone is work. So in terms of like a day-to-day schedule, my day typically starts at 5 a.m. I will leave work and go train from like 3 to 4:30, 3 to 5 o'clock. And when I train from 3 to 5, I just turn my notifications off. And I use that as my like 2 hours to just, for me to like de-stress. And then once I get literally like, once I get back in my car from the gym, I'm answering clients, I'm answering students. And then I typically crash around like 10. And then I did the same thing all over again.
WhatsApp is awesome.
It's literally like Mark and I were talking about it when I was in Ohio. Like we literally live Groundhog Day every single day.
That's it. Dude, WhatsApp is after like Mark and every, so once Mark switched to WhatsApp for our check-ins, I actually did it too for my clients because I realized how simple it is. After observing it, I'm like,
recording.
Sending a voice recording for a check-in is so nice. And it's also, you add a little bit of a personal touch to just sending, an email. I hate sending, I can't send client check-in emails. I can't do it anymore. I have to make sure every client is on WhatsApp because it's just easier. It's just.
So I've found the greatest thing for me, especially like, so here's a perfect example. Like these last 3 days, not having power, going from like 3 different houses. If it wasn't for WhatsApp, I would be so far behind because I was literally plugging my phone in, driving, in voice recording, updating my clients because I had to get it done.
Yeah, that's not safe. Come on.
I was parked. So that way, when I had internet access, I could make all the new client plans and then send those out, but still adhere to like my clients. Like I literally sat in the Trader Joe's parking lot yesterday for 40 minutes before actually going in because I was responding to all of my clients.
That's how you got to get done. I mean, like it's pretty funny because me and Tom have gone through, I mean, his situation's a lot worse, but we both lost power this week and it could not come at like a worse time.
So what's funny is I made a post about it yesterday about how like the foods that I'm eating, I wouldn't consider optimal, right? At least for me, based off of like my digestion and like the way I like to feel, but they're effective because at the end of the day, I'm still making progress towards my end goal. And I put at the end of the post, like, this is where knowing the importance of each macronutrient, knowing how to count them and not just blindly following something will come into handy, like in situations like this. Like this is one of the reasons why, like I know myself and all the other coaches on Tomahawk Train, like we take the time to educate everyone. Yeah. And that's something that we pride ourselves on, especially Mark and I having the background in education. Like I sat on the phone this morning literally teaching someone how to count macros because they're brand new to this. So like that was an hour on the phone this morning.
Yep.
But I can guarantee you that person walked away learning something. And I know like, okay, like part one of the initial like startup is done as a coach now. Like now I can educate them on like, okay, let's use this food source versus that food source. If like you have GI dissension, or how did you feel with this one? How did you feel with that one? Like you and I were talking before this, like cream of rice digests super fast for you. And you noticed that your blood sugar levels were dropping. Like you wouldn't have known your blood sugar levels were dropping if you A, didn't learn about it yourself, or B, get educated on it. You would have been like, oh damn, I feel like crap. Like I feel lethargic. Like I can't get a pump. I can't work out. Like, but for me as an educator, like I feel like I always need to teach why. So you have a takeaway.
Yeah. You know, I actually find I love teaching macros. You know, this is, I actually had a beginner. So I'm with someone who is a beginner too. And you know, you really take for granted those people that are already in the game. Mm-hmm. Like you think they're like it's amazing. Like you think those are the best clients because they know everything. When in all reality, I actually rather have someone from the beginning because it's more impact that I am having on them.
I mean, I think that's definitely a twofold statement. Like I agree with both parts of it. My thing is like, I just like people that want it, Like, yeah. I just love people that are just like, this is what I want. This is why I came to you. Like, the people that are just as passionate about it as I am, like, dude, we didn't even know each other from a hole in the wall. We started talking about sneakers, and then it escalated into, like, talking about macros and training and stuff like that. And it's, like, to see your progression or to see my client's progression where, like, it just continues to occur, like, that's what excites me. Like, that's why that keeps my fire lit. Like, that's why I love coaching. Like, I love seeing other people succeed. Like, when Mark announced he was retiring, dude, I got so excited for him. And it's like, yo, I wasn't retiring, but I felt like it. Like,
yeah, you know, that's exactly how I felt. I was like, damn, is this how I'm going to feel when I do this? I was like,
yo, I got another 20 years before I retire. From but that's the thing is, like, that's why I love this. Like, that's what keeps my passion going. Like, there's times that I go to the gym and, like, I see a young kid in high school, like, ask me a question. Like, I'll go into it with him, man. Like, I get super excited. Like, I get happy and stuff like that. Like, and they're just probably looking at me like, look at this old dude. Like, why is he getting so excited over training? Like, I love this. Like, that's why I never gave it up. Like, I literally was a teacher, wasn't coaching. One of my friends asked me to get in shape, helped him out, word of mouth, brought me another client. And then finally, like, it was to a point where I was helping like 10, 15 people, not getting paid. And I was like, all right, like, this is taking up a good amount of time. Like, let me charge like $50. And that's how it started, dude. It was just like $50 under the table cash. Like, my first client, I prepped for a show. Like, my first client ever was a competition prep client. Dude, I had, like, I knew what I was doing, but, like, to just be like, all right, let's do this, bro. Like, he blindly followed me. Like, we had discussions in the past. Like, I competed in the past, so he knew what I was doing. Bro, it takes his class. Like, shredded to the bone. And I was like, all right, I think I can do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it was one of those things.
That's insane.
It kept escalating. Yeah, dude. Crazy.
I could not, dude. I would, thinking about it, I'm like, I don't think I would take a contest prep client for the next like 4 years.
I'm like, it gave me more confidence.
I feel like it does when it works. When it works, like,
and I mean, dude, he was shredded. Like, I remember being backstage with him, and I still had him. I had him replicating his intra. His pre-workout and his intra while pumping up, dude, like sodium, creatine. Oh my
God. He's probably
Gatorade.
He's probably like, full as a house.
A little bit of citrulline malate. And then like his typical like stimulant pre-workout, dude, he would like, I mean, we were two young kids. Like, I think I say young cause I'm 31 now, but like I was like 24 and I think he was 26.
Get out of here, you old head.
Yeah, I'm now. But like, we were just two, like, he was one of my good friends, and we were just like, dude, let's do this. Like, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, I mean, I don't know if we just got lucky on that day or.
Yeah, you're like, I think we peaked right. I was like, that's, but there's no such thing as peak. I don't believe that there's a thing in peak week.
Dude, like, to be honest. He was ready like 3 weeks out, and we just coasted into the show, and we just like fine tune. But it was one of those things, dude, like everything was trial and error. And I put it all down in a notebook. Like I literally filled like a spiral notebook, and I was like, okay, like this worked for him. Like it probably won't work for anybody else, but at least like now I know like, okay, this is what happened when we did this. This is what happened when we did that. And then as I got more clients, and I tried some of the same things in terms of like 5 low days, 2 high days with like a carb rotation, or when we switched to like 2-a-day refeeds instead of just one, like you pick up certain trends left and right. Like this is how this person responded. This is how they responded. And you just keep adding it to your arsenal so you can pick up on it with future clients. You're like, I've seen this before. Like, this is what happened when I did this with this person. This is what's happening with this person. Let me try this to a certain degree, but also like put a spin on it, obviously to meet the needs of that individual.
You know, I want to bring something back that you kind of talked about, which is like what we do. It's really cool because me and Tom have this relationship of, I feel like I don't educate as much, but we have an education thing where we both go through, I'm starting to notice more with training and nutrition, and as I'm gaining more experience in both, it's aiding in our discussions. But it's pretty cool because everybody on this team, I think that's the coolest part about this team, and I don't want to like shout out our team because it's like I do because it's impressive.
I'll do it like falsetto, Matt.
Yeah, it's already on his shirt. So if
you, real quick.
I was gonna point that out a lot sooner. I was like, you definitely wore that shirt on purpose.
100%.
I think it's pretty cool because everybody has an educational opportunity for like what we do. Like no matter, like, yes, Mark is my coach. He is my main educator. But I have learned so much from having conversations with other people on the team. Like that's where education truly happens, when you have people that are evolved as a team rather than just one single individual. Like Mark actually coaches like I am the only client he has. Like that's how a coach should be. But yeah. It's like I am learning from not only him, but everybody else surrounding me. I think that's the coolest part.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that initially drew me when Mark and I first had that conversation of having me come on as an assistant coach, is we vibed on the fact that we were educators. We vibed on the fact that, like, we literally lived, like, the same lifestyle in two different states. When I went down there, it was like nothing changed. I felt like I was right at home. And even his wife was like, yo, there's two of you? He's like, I have to deal with one, but now two. But that's the thing. Like when you connect with a coach or when you connect with a team, I don't want to say you let your guard down, but you're not as defensive or like you're not as timid to open yourself up to learning from someone else or, taking a little bit of advice from this person and trying to make it applicable to your situation, or even taking that advice and bringing it back to Mark or bringing it back to Keely or Ashley or Haley or myself and be like, hey, I noticed Anthony was doing this. Like, why is he doing this, but I'm not? And that provides a learning opportunity to be like, well, he's doing this because of X, Y, and Z. Like, this is where he is versus where you are. Like, that's not to say we'll never do that, but right now we need to focus on these variables and take care of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, no, it's been a game changer and it's been a game changer for you because your content, I think that's the one thing that I've seen. And that's actually one of the ways that I actually asked you to come on the show is because your content has just like tenfolded since then. Like you just started educating on there. And I mean, you do got some dope photos now from Nick. So that adds to the,
that was the biggest thing when we were in quarantine. Like I was training out of my garage.
Yeah.
In my driveway. Like how many times, like your limited equipment, like how many times can you catch yourself doing the same thing or like try to get those up close and personal photos? Like I posted a photo yesterday. Dude, I didn't realize it until someone pointed it out to me. Like Nick literally caught like every vein in my neck and in my chest that like attached like all the way up to like my forehead vein that you can see because again, I don't have any hair. So like, or like there was one where I'm standing and I didn't realize he took this. Like I'm standing and I had my arms up against the barbell like this and he took a shot off the mirror. Like it's like it looks like a face on shot. He took a shot off the mirror of me looking at Mark doing a set of pullovers. And it's probably my favorite shot that he grabbed. But obviously, like when you have that professional content, it grasps individuals. You know what I mean? Like I'll be the first one to tell you, dude, I probably took 5 or 6 posts that I posted 4 or 5 months ago that barely got any likes. I reposted them. And between the comments, people saving them, putting them on their stories, dude, word for word, the same thing. I literally just copied, pasted, put a new photo. Like, I'm not saying like it all had to do with the photo, but I guarantee you it did. Like 90% of it did. But like you said, I think the biggest thing I struggled with, and it's something that Mark called me out on and Justin called me out on, was I don't put out enough content. Like, I have the knowledge, I just don't put out enough content. And that's because a large part of it was just like, I was scared to. Like, yeah. I didn't want to make a mistake. And that's something I regret doing early on in my coaching, was I was so scared that I prevented myself from basically, I don't want to say succeeding, but progressing, because I was like, I don't want to do anything wrong. So instead of learning, I restricted myself and I kind of pigeonholed myself. And it wasn't until like joining up with Mark, having a discussion with Mark, having a discussion with Justin, and then even other coaches on Justin's team and other coaches on our team, and like even individuals like yourself, who are now like reaching out when I make posts and being like, dude, this hits home for me, or like, this is a really good post. Once you start building that little bit of confidence, it's like, it just, yeah, it just begins to flow. Like, you see how it is. Like, I've messaged you about a few of your posts lately, and it's just like, dude, like, when you flow, like, people can tell when you're being authentic versus people can tell when you're just trying too damn hard.
Yeah. You know, I've done the same thing as you did. So I posted every single day since like the beginning of January, because I trying to get my name out there as best as possible, and I'm okay. And, you know, I always wanted to be perfect with what I wanted to say, which
paralysis by analysis.
Yeah. Which is what we were talking about before. It's like, you can get caught up, especially in the beginning of this online coaching. You can get thrown into the garbage real quick if you do say something wrong, but it's actually better that you say something wrong and get, and we were talking about this before, get a comment that changes your mind on this topic, mm-hmm, because then it will allow you. I mean, yes, it's on a post, so it kind of sucks that it's on there, but it's better that it's on there and you got it wrong and someone commented to correct you. That's how I think about it.
100%.
But yeah, no, I've done the same thing as you. I've gone back through some of my older posts that hit home with people, but it didn't get like a ton of like actual
traction.
Like, yeah. And now that like myself, like my account is growing, and like, I think you've seen it too, because your account is growing. Now, if you go back and you post something, it's like, it hits home with way more people.
100%.
And I actually love creating content too. You know, you just get into that flow state with it. Like, especially when you're writing a caption, like that's like the best. Like I have to limit myself sometimes on writing a caption.
Something that I found too is, even when I first joined up with Mark and Tominac Trained, I had a lot of similar ideas to like posts that Keely was making or posts that Mark was making. And I restrained myself because I was like, well, they just posted about it.
Yeah.
So why am I going to post about it again? But then I realized, I was like, you know what? If I want to talk about it, like, I'm just going to fucking post it. Like, because how I word it, or how I draw the reader in, is going to be different than Keely. It's going to be different from Mark. So like, maybe someone didn't resonate with them because they don't follow them, right? So like, yeah, I'm here in Connecticut. All of my clients from Connecticut follow them, but not everybody else does. So if I make that post, maybe it'll hit home for someone here. Maybe it opens up an opportunity here, or maybe they repost it and someone who doesn't follow me can now follow me, and that opens up another opportunity for me, or even just for them to learn something. So the other day, Mark and I literally posted about the same exact thing. Same exact thing. And we almost used the same exact photo, like verbatim.
That would have been fun. That would have been funny.
it was the one. It was him and I. We were both rowing with the Rhino Flex bar. And his, you can see all of him. And then the other one of me, it was just like my close up that Nick took, and Nick even commented, or Mark and Nick commented on it, saying like, oh, like doubling up, our team's doubling up on the row picks today.
Oh, that's the one. Oh, I like that comment right away. I actually laughed so hard when Mark wrote that.
But at the same time, like, dude, I was busy all day and I didn't even realize he made that post. And then I posted about it, And then I was like, oh, this is the same exact post. Like, I was like, I legit thought about taking it down. I was like, but why? Like, for the same reason I just said before, like, not everybody follows Mark, not everybody follows me. So to take that down would be advantageous. And it was funny because some of the people that commented on mine didn't comment on his, but they liked his, or vice versa. You know what I mean?
So it's like, dude, I get this all the time.
So like some people resonated for the way that I took it was some people resonated with the words that he said and commented on it. And then some people resonated with the words that I said and commented on that. But at the same time, the underlining message was the same. And it's just, it's literally just like teaching. Like Mark and I could sit here and teach the same subjects right next door to each other, but how he words things and how I word things are going to be different. Some of my students and some of his students would connect, vice versa, or client wise. And that's what I love about coaching, dude, is like, it's the same thing. Like you can resonate with somebody and it hits home and your life could be changed forever.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't notice that. So like a lot of coaches, this is where I'm kind of going to end with this, but a lot of coaches actually have the same information. Now, a lot of them have the same, everybody has the same knowledge. Like most, like if you actually take the time to care and learn, you'll get the same knowledge as everybody else. It's just what you do with it and how you explain it is so different from each other. And this basically ties us all the way back to the beginning of our podcast where we talked about differentiation.
Yeah.
It's like, that's why each coach has those clients, because it hits home with those clients. And that's why each coach is able to have a different impact on different people's lives.
100%. I think back to, you could probably ask any person, name one teacher. Think about one teacher. I want you to do this. Think about one teacher you had in your life that made the biggest impact.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you it's because they took the time to differentiate and connect with you on some personal level, whether it was inside the classroom, it might have been a coach, it might have been outside the classroom, but like they were a teacher or they were a coach, like they were instructing you and they dug deep into your life and they made a connection with you. And that allowed you to feel comfortable around them, put your guard down, and it opened you up to more learning opportunities, or it built self-confidence in you. And that's what I try to take in both avenues. Like when I'm teaching, I try to connect with certain kids. Like I know kids' brothers' names. I know kids' sisters' names. I know the sports they play. I know the teams they're on. Like I know the teams they like. I do the same thing with my clients. Hey, how's your kid? I saw that they're walking on Instagram. Like that's super cool. Like one of the things I make my clients do is tell me 1 to 3 things that happened to them outside of the gym. So if I can tell they're having a bad day, I can talk to them about that and it opens them up and it lets their guard down. And then I can use that as a way to talk to them about how their week went. Okay, where can we improve? How can we improve?
Awesome. Yeah. That's something, you know, I've started to do that more with my clients. I started to get more, a little bit more personal. There's always that divide of getting too personal. But that will be a topic for another time because I think you'll be coming on again probably. So we could touch on a bunch of different stuff next time. But, you know, you've heard every single podcast, basically, I think, hopefully. I am with the same 3 questions. First one is, what 3 things do you want people to leave with after listening to this podcast episode?
So I would say my first takeaway is never pass up an opportunity to learn. I think the inherent teacher in me is like, no question is a dumb question, especially if you're working with the coach.
Yep.
I think if you are working with someone who you are fully invested in, I think you should never be afraid to ask why or get an explanation as to something. The second thing would be make sure to follow everyone on Tominac Trained. A little plug for us there, Mark Keeley, Ashley and Haley, and myself. And then I think the third one is if you're given an opportunity to be a guest somewhere, to talk to certain individuals, or be featured maybe like in an article or something like that, like realize that you're there for a purpose, to have the confidence in yourself. And even though you may be talking to someone who is more seasoned, or maybe they have more education than you, like, you've earned the right to be there. So don't knock yourself. So basically just believe in yourself at the end of the day, because whatever got you there for a reason.
Yep.
And yeah. Yeah, that's three.
That's three. Second question is, what three books and or podcasts would you recommend everybody either read or listen to?
So I'm going to do a mix here.
Yeah.
So one of the best books, and of course now I'm blanking on the author, that I've ever read is called Turning Pro. And hold on, now I gotta look up the name of this because it's gonna annoy me if I don't. So Turning Pro by Stephen Pressfield. So I read this book coming out of college when I was first applying for jobs, and I think the first like 10 interviews I went on, like, everybody said no. And then I read that book and it just created like a mindset shift. So that would be a book that I highly recommend. Podcasts. That's tough because I don't want to leave anybody out. I would say lately I've been listening, obviously, to yours. I've been listening to a lot of the Excellence Cartel. I've been listening to a lot of Elite Physique University.
So have I.
Of Sam Miller Science, and those are the ones I've been listening to lately. Like, I listen to a ton, just those are the ones that, like, when I sit down and listen and like take notes to try to learn more, like, those have been my go-tos as of late. But like, I'll also sit and listen to like the Real Bodybuilding Podcast with Fuad, or the HWMF podcast with like Seth Ferrosi and stuff like that. So like, I listen to a wide spectrum. In terms of the last one, I mean, those would probably cover them all.
Yeah. Or, I listen to mostly
Justin Haley's podcast, Grow or Die.
Yeah, I listen to all those. I've actually been on an Excellence Cartel and Elite Physique University kick lately on my walks. So
yeah, it really, like, it depends on what type of mood I'm in. Cause like, yeah, I know if I'm sitting down to like take notes, I'll listen to certain ones. Like, if I'm trying to get amped up, I'll listen to certain ones. And like, some people just like the tone of their voice and stuff like that, it just hits a little bit different. So yeah, it really depends on the type of mood I'm in.
Awesome. And then lastly, probably the favorite question for everybody who ever comes on this show, it's your minute of fame here. Where can people, it's time to shameless plug yourself. Where can people find you? Instagram, whatever you use, coaching, anything.
So if people want, I don't have a Facebook, so don't even try to find me on Facebook. I got rid of that when I first got a teaching job because I had students friend me and I was not allowed to have them see what I did in college and stuff like that. So don't even try to look for me on Facebook. I am on Instagram. My Instagram is at ThomasMonk789. And then if people want to email me, it's Thomas@TomanakTrained.com. And then we are also going to be doing a Instagram page for Tomanak Trained. So when that comes out,
this is exclusive.
That's an exclusive. I don't know if Mark wants me to say this, but sorry, Mark. Love you, buddy. But by the time this comes out, it'll probably already be out. Hopefully. Or I'll make it that day. So one of the two.
We might be in a bad boat. Don't kill us, Mark, if you're listening.
No. It's fine. I'll be on that one too. But my main account is ThomasMonk789 on Instagram. Feel free to DM me. Feel free to ask me a question or send me an email on Thomas@TomanakTrained. So that's awesome. Pretty much it.
Yeah, I'll put those in the show notes so everybody can find that pretty easily. the most that we ask people who enjoyed listening to this episode is that you actually screenshot you listening, tag Thomas and I, put it on your Instagram stories. We'll show some love back.
Without a doubt.
I think it's pretty cool when people support and I actually give back to those people. Trust me, my DMs are also very much open. Tom knows. We went over it in this podcast. Yeah. Free advertising if you look at the shirt. I still gotta get one of those.
Click the link in my link tree or Mark's link tree. Tom Dominic train shirts, cutoffs, hoodies.
Everything. But yeah, that's all we ask from you. So Tom, I wanna kinda thank you for coming on the show.
Pleasure.
And definitely we'll have you back on. So guys, if you want to hear some more from us, definitely let me know. And if you guys are interested, ever want to ask for having a certain guest on, my DMs are open for that too as well, because I have a wide variety of guests on this show. So feel free to just drop names. So everybody, thank you for listening to this episode of the
Thanks, guys.
Beta Podcast.